I'm going to just pray with Peter. Can you all hear me? Okay, maybe it's just... I invited Peter here this morning with a point. I said, you hear from the Lord what you need to preach on. But the reason why I invited Peter was a number of reasons. First of all, I felt the Lord lead me to invite him. It's not just a random invite of a person. Let's go through my book of friends and connections and pastors and people I know and preachers I know and let's pick one. It's because I felt the Lord wanting to release something here this morning about the millennial generation. You know, we keep saying that we are building the church of tomorrow today. And every generation matters to God, doesn't it? And I believe that. Every generation matters to God. Every single person matters to God. And when I say release into the millennial generation, I don't mean that excludes any other generation. It's an invitation to the party. To me, it's about a Joshua and Caleb spirit. The others saw giants, they saw possibilities. And there's something about attracting the generation that God is raising up. Be it an age thing on the one hand, and we're all part of that, whatever generation you belong to, you're part of that. A new generation coming in, the millennials. And it's also about picking up on, catching what the Spirit of God is doing in this nation and across the world. And being Joshua and Caleb's people with a different spirit, with the Spirit of God. And Peter, I just want to speak over you this morning, God's blessing. I want to speak over you the scripture from 1 Timothy 4, from verse 8. It says, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of the household of those who believe. Command and teach these things." Now listen to this. "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set an example." So there's a calling. Paul put a calling on young Timothy, and I believe this is a calling on every young person. "Set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity." Wow, there we go, five things. Welcome back to life. Was the amp off by any chance? Never mind. This says, "Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity." Those five things. "Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift." And I believe the Lord is saying something about your gift this morning. And I think, I know, God will minister to you as you minister to us. Okay, he's going to minister something in your spirit to you this morning, Peter, about the gift he's put on the inside of you, which was given through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. "Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress." Isn't that great? That everyone may see your progress. "Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourselves and your hearers." Let's just pray for Peter. Lord, I just lay hands on Peter. Thank you for your gift that you've given to him. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to all of us this morning. Open our spiritual ears. May our hearts be opened. May we be attuned to you. And I pray for Peter, give him boldness, clarity of thought and speech as he preaches here this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to him as well about the gift, the gifts you've put on the inside of him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I've got a bit more to share with you, but I'm going to share it with you privately. Okay, so bless you.
Thank you. Wow, that's quite an introduction. I don't know if I can quite follow that. But it's good to be back here, and some of you already know me. Some of you know me as Peter, as a little child who was running around and causing mischief. Not a lot has changed in that respect. Some of you know me as Andrew's son, Andrew Bernardo, and I'll talk about him in a minute. Some of you don't know me at all, but you know my name now, so thank you. So I'm going to start off by talking about this in front of me. You might be wondering what this is and why I've got it here. And this is a toolbox. And this is an example of a father-son project. Okay? I thought it would be good to talk a little bit about my dad, even though he's not here. He's in Portugal at the moment with my mum, living the high life, having a good time. So this is a toolbox. And this is something that we made together when I think I was about 10 years old. So I was about 10 years old, and we had that typical thing where dad takes you into the workshop, shows you how to use the tools, and together you build something, okay? And for me, it was a toolbox. I don't know quite how I managed to carry it when I was 10, because it's actually quite heavy. And it has a nice little tray that sits in the top where I can put my tools. Now, this is an example of a father-son project. Some of you might be able to look back and imagine and remember father-son projects. Some of you may not be able to do that, unfortunately. And we're going to talk about this a bit more in depth. But today what I'm going to talk about is a father-son project. This is what we're talking about. And this is something that has been going on. Did you know that you are the result of a father-son project? Every one of you sitting here is the result of a father-son project. In fact, everything you know, everything created in this world is the result of a father-son project. Because right from the beginning of time, before the beginning of time, there was a father and a son, an eternal father and an eternal son, perfect, in perfect relationship with each other. And they got together and they said, let's create a father-son project together. We're going to create together, and we're going to create a universe. And in the universe, we're going to put these human beings that are going to be like us. It says in Genesis, God said, let us make man, human beings, in our own image. And that's us today. We're part of that too. So we were made to represent the Father and the Son. This is a Father-Son project. And this project is happening today, and it's going to continue for eternity. It's an eternal project. Father, eternal Father and eternal Son. And you could call it the Kingdom of God. Okay, this is a word that the Bible uses and that Jesus refers to as the Kingdom of God. So today, what I really want to focus on is this aspect of the Father and the Son. Because these two characters, this relationship is the most important, significant relationship in history, in eternity. There is no relationship more important, even your marriage, even the relationship between you and your children, even the relationship between Harry and Meghan Markle. Nothing matters more than the relationship between Father and Son, eternal Father and eternal Son. And believe it or not, we are actually brought into this. And we're going to learn from this relationship between Jesus and his Father God. We're going to learn from that today. And we're going to learn about how we're brought into it and what it means for us, what it looks like for us. This is the topic. And I find it amazing, just as Kevin was saying, that this whole concept of sonship, of being a child of God, was brought right from the beginning of the service. I didn't tell Kevin what I was speaking on. Kevin found out when he came in this morning what I was speaking on. Andrea didn't know what I was going to speak on. She was leading the worship. We had no discussions during the week. And the first song was all about being a child of God. The second song was all about being a child of God. Even the word that was brought here today that Kevin had for the last few weeks in his spirit was about being a child of God. So I think God is actually speaking today. I think he's trying to say something. So, this is, if we go to the next slide, when Jesus was walking the earth, he was walking as a human being. He came from his eternal glory down onto this earth as a human being, But he was still in relationship with his father, even though he was on the earth. And we see this confirmed when he was baptized. And this is actually before he did anything in terms of his ministry, before he did all these powerful miracles, before he rose again. He was confirmed by his father. He was affirmed by his father. And he came up out of the waters. The Spirit came in the form of a dove. And this voice from heaven said, This is my son. I won't try and do the voice of God. This is my son whom I love. I am with him, I am well pleased. I'm well pleased. And this is the affirmation that the Heavenly Father has on his son before he even starts his ministry. And that is what launches him. And he came up out of the water with this affirmation. Okay? So here we see the introduction, if you like, of the Father and the Son. So we're going to talk about how it applies to us. Now I'm going to take this illustration further. Okay, this toolbox. So the question is, would I have been able to make the toolbox on my own? Any ideas? At 10 years old. No. I wouldn't have been able to do it on my own. I wouldn't have known where to start, what to use. I wouldn't have been able to get the resources. Okay? I had to have my dad's help. But he could have done it on his own. In fact, he did. He used to make toolboxes as well. But there's another project I have here, which is a personal project. It's not father-son. This is a copy of my album. In fact, I'm not selling you anything because it doesn't even have the CD in it. But this is a copy of an album that I made a few years ago, where I put the tracks together, recorded the music, and mixed it myself. And I'm not saying that to kind of blow my own trumpet, but what I'm saying is I'm using it as a point to say that this is an example of going from something called dependence to independence. Because I didn't really need my dad's help in any of this. I did it all on my own without his help. And in fact, his help probably wouldn't have been very useful. Because he's not a musician, he's not a recording engineer. In fact, what he would probably do is, if I asked him for help, he'd tell me to turn down the drums and turn up the violins. Okay? So that wouldn't have been very useful. But what we have here is a natural process. A natural process in our life of going from dependence to independence. Okay? It would be a bit strange if I was walking around, okay, I'm 28 years old, if I was walking around as a 28-year-old man with nappies, okay? It would be a bit strange if I had to rely on someone to feed me all of my food. But there was a time when I did. There was a time in my life, some of you might even remember that time, where I had to have nappies and I had to have someone to change them. Where I had to have someone to feed me. Okay? So we have this natural process. And the reason is because the parent wants to bring their child to a state where they can function by themselves. Because it's a very sad situation if a parent outlives their child. Yeah? So this is part of the natural human process. And it's actually biblical. It says in the Bible, in Genesis, that a man would leave his parents and become united with his wife. Okay? He would come out from under their wing and create his own wing. Okay? And his own authority. So this is a natural process. But when we come to God, it's actually the reverse. When we look at the life of Jesus, we don't see a transition from dependence to independence when it comes to his Father in heaven. Jesus said a few things about this. Let's look at them. The first thing he said is this. I don't know if you can see that. He says, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves his Son and shows him everything he is doing. Jesus was on a Father-Son project every day he was walking the earth. And this relationship was characterized by dependence. It wasn't independence, it was dependence. Here's another example. We see the next one. It says, one day soon afterwards, it wasn't necessarily linked to this one, but one day soon afterwards, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray. And he prayed to God all night. Now, how many of you have done an all-night prayer meeting? Or you've prayed, managed to pray all night? Do you know what? I can't say I've managed to pray all night to God. There's a hand over here. Well done, Mary. I'll give you a medal afterwards. But I can't say personally that I've ever prayed all night to God. And I know some of you might struggle to stay awake during the prayer meetings at 7 o'clock in the evening. I know my dad does sometimes. Shouldn't say that. All right, take that off the tape, okay? So Jesus had this relationship with his Father where he had to go away and pray. He was doing all this stuff. He was healing in the power of God. But actually, his dependence came from the Father. So we see frequently throughout Jesus' life that he had to do this. It says that he went up a mountain to pray by himself. Here he prayed all night, which is quite a long time. But we don't really get so much insight into what actually he was praying about. Now, the reason I bring this prayer thing up is because prayer is actually a sign of our dependence. Someone who doesn't depend on God, who lives life on their own, who calls their own shots, who does their own thing, who makes all the decisions, who trusts in their own understanding, is not likely to pray unless they're doing it to be religious or to make a show. And Jesus talks about that, about praying for religious reasons in that way. Whereas the person who knows that everything they are depends on God, knows that their life source comes from God, without God they can do nothing, then they will pray. Because prayer is dependence. And to be honest with you, if Jesus had to do it, then how much more do we? Jesus had been around forever. He'd been around forever. And he was still depending on his Father. How much more do we, human beings who aren't eternal, need to actually pray to our Father and live a life of dependence? Now, there is one example, or in fact there's a couple, but one in particular example where we see the snapshot of the relationship between Jesus and the Father in his prayer life. And I want to put that up on the screen. And this is from John 17. Now, I found this in the Bible. It's one of the most glorious passages that I feel like I've found in the Bible. And it shows us a snapshot. Think of it like a snapshot of the relationship with the Father and Jesus that's been going on from eternity past to eternity future. We see this window of their relationship. Okay? We see this window of their relationship where he prays. This is just before he's about to leave his disciples and go to the cross. And he's telling them all of these things. And this is what he says to his Father. He says, after saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. And then he prays for his disciples who were there. And then he prays for everyone who chooses to follow him, okay, throughout history. He says, I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me, and get this, that you love them as much as you love me. Did you get that, what Jesus is saying? The love of the Father that he has on his eternal Son, the same love he has for us. That's a bit like if some of you are parents saying to your kids, you know what, I love you so much, so much. And the same love I have for you, I have for those caterpillars over there. That's crazy. Anyone would think you're mad if you said that. And yet the Father is saying to the Son, his love is the same for us. And that's why he was able to give Jesus as a payment for us. That's how much he loves us, that he was able to give his one and only Son for us. And obviously Jesus didn't stay in the grave, he came back. But still, that was the price that he paid for us. Okay? And there's a word that keeps coming up in this. A word that keeps coming up. It's the word one. It's all about being one. And it's a bit confusing because he's saying, you know, I and the Father are one, and if you're going to be one with me, then you can be one with the Father, and you're being one with each other, so therefore the world will know that you're one with me. And it's a bit like, what are you saying, Jesus? But this is where it comes down to, is the word one. And oneness is all about intimacy. Oneness is about being one and connected, united. It's played out through intimacy, one heart and purpose. As David said, as God said of David, he's a man after my heart. You know, in other words, he has the same heart as God. He has the same passions, the same joys, the same sorrows that God has. He's one. And Jesus is the example of oneness. And I'll give you a picture of this. We have this picture of the vine and the branches. Before he says all of this to his Father, before that he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And a vine and branches are one, they're connected to each other. In fact, the branches have to depend on the vine. Okay, they depend on the vine for their life. That's how one they are. You know, another way of thinking it, maybe a bit more close to home, is about a human body. What would happen if I chopped off your arm? If I came and chopped off your arm? Your arm would fall on the floor and it wouldn't be very useful. It would die, it would rot away. You couldn't use it anymore. Your arm is only useful and only alive when it's connected to you, connected to the source. When it's one with the source, it has the same life flowing through. I think there was a song we sang earlier which talks about his blood, his life flowing through our veins. Okay, what a powerful word, a powerful lyric, where we're talking about this oneness and the same life flowing through. Okay? And Jesus uses this example of us with him, but the same is true of him with the Father. He was one. He was one with the Father, and he still is. Okay? This is the intimacy that we're talking about here. Now, intimacy is not the same as proximity in terms of how we live it out. You can be close in terms of distance with someone. You can have known someone for years and years and talked to them years and years, but you don't really know them. Intimacy requires you stepping out and discovering someone's true passions and heart and sharing with them. Sharing that with them. That's oneness. That's what we're talking about here. Okay, and I want to say something that will speak into our culture. If we have the next slide. Intimacy requires vulnerability. I really felt that this was just a part of the word that God wants to speak into our culture, because we live in a culture here, and I'm talking about Buckerstill, I'm talking about 2018, a culture of affluence, a culture of pride, and a culture of independence, and we don't like vulnerability. The reason I've got this picture, these are actually tombs, and Jesus uses as an example when he's talking to the Pharisees, he says, you are like whitewashed tombs. And in other words, you're dead on the inside, but you have clean your tomb to make it look nice and sparkly. And we live in a culture that likes to whitewash our brokenness, whitewash the flaws inside. We like to put a good face on things, and that is a barrier to intimacy. If you come to God and you can't express your what's inside of you, even if it is difficult, even if it is bad, even if there are wounds there, then you're not going to have an intimate relationship with him. You need to be vulnerable with God. Have a look at the life of David. We almost see a blueprint of an intimate walk with God in David's life, where he was able to call out to God and be vulnerable with him. Okay, and we have to be different to our culture. We have to come out of our culture to be the people of God that we're called to be. Okay, the last point that I want to bring, the last part of this, is the one thing that I've missed in all of this, the one thing that I've left out, the one thing that makes all of this possible and shows us about more about how we fit in to this, and that is actually a person, which I'll call the activator. The activator. Now, if the Father is in heaven, remember, the Father's in heaven. Jesus, when he rose again, he came to his disciples, then he ascended to heaven, and now he's with the Father in heaven. He's been given all authority over everything. He's been lifted up. He's been exalted because he went to the cross. He won all authority over everything. He's the King of Kings. He's with the Father in heaven. However, we're on earth, and Father and Son are in heaven together, having a good time. How do we know God if there's this distance? How do we really know God? And the only way we can know God is through the Holy Spirit. The only way we can know God is through the Spirit. He is the one who makes this possible. Okay? I think, yes. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's actually the power, continually the power at the source of the Godhead. Without the Holy Spirit, I don't even think that God would be able to be God. Because the Father actually has, he uses the power of the Spirit to create and to do what he does. Even when Jesus was on the earth, he relied on the power of the Spirit to do miracles. When he rose again, he died and left his life in the hands of the Holy Spirit to raise him up. It says that the power of the Spirit raised Christ from the dead. And so the Father and the Son, in a way, depend on the Spirit. There's this kind of dependence right at the heart of the Godhead. And what's more, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of sonship. So let's bring up the verse up here. It says, "You have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It's the Spirit that makes us born again, because we're born by the Spirit. Now, I think we misunderstand this concept of being a child of God sometimes. We think that we're a child of God because He created us. Now, in a sense, it's true, but being a child of God is actually much more significant and deeper and more powerful than that. Because He also created the rocks and the mountains and the stars. But would you say that they're His children? I don't think so. There's something deeper about being a child of God. And the reason is because our sonship is something that we inherit from Christ. Remember what we said earlier, that the same love the Father has for Jesus, He has for us. Because we come in Christ and we become children through Christ. And so everything that Jesus is given to us. It says in the Bible that we're co-heirs. That means that we're royalty. We share in His royalty. We're co-rulers. We're born to rule and to reign. And it says that our destiny is to rule and reign with Him forever in this eternal Father-Son project. We come in the Son. We're not just children in our own right. Everything that Jesus won through His death on the cross and resurrection is given to us. Being a Christian is like walking in the blessing that someone else has paid for you already. He's paid for your sonship. And it, you know, for women who are thinking, well, why are you just talking about sonship? The reason is, the reason why the original Bibles just used the word sonship, it wasn't because it was sexist, but because it's referring to Jesus. You inherit His sonship. You're inheriting something that Jesus is, and a status that He has with the Father. And in that way, if we go to the next slide, which is a slide I had right at the beginning, the same affirmation the Father has over Jesus, He gives to you. And this is why we're baptized. This is what baptism is all about. It's about being baptized in Christ. So that when we come up out of the water, it's almost as if the same thing He's saying is, "This is my Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." And He gives you that affirmation before you even do anything for Him, before you work for Him. God isn't looking for people just to do stuff for Him. He's looking to bring people into His family. And He does that through the Spirit. And as we saw on the scripture earlier, it's the Spirit that bears witness with our spirit. It's almost like there's a person living in you, and He's crying out, "Abba, Father." He's the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Sonship Himself, who cries out, "Abba, Father." And He's bearing witness with your spirit that you're his child. That is the part of being a Christian. The normal Christian life. The normal Christian life isn't just coming to church. It's not just about sitting and listening to sermons. It's not just about, warming pews. It's not just about doing some disciplines. It's not just about being part of a nice community and getting involved in stuff. It's about knowing the Father. And this was the primary role, this is the primary role of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not just about giving you the Pentecostal two-step, which I still like, by the way. It's not just about the spiritual gifts, which are still fantastic because He gives them. He's the one who gives them. But the primary role of the Spirit is to connect us with the Father, and it cannot be done without Him. It cannot be done without the Holy Spirit. If we don't have, the Bible says in Romans, if you don't have the Spirit in you, you don't belong to Christ at all. If we don't belong to Christ, that's not good for us, is it? It's not good for us. You cannot be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. And when we do have the Spirit in us, when we're born again, we're by His Spirit, we become children of God, and we're adopted into a family. This family of Father, Son, Spirit, all loving in each other, depending on each other, being one with each other. We become one with Him, and we become part of this family that's never going to end. In a Father-Son project that's never going to end, or Father-Son and Spirit project, family project, is never going to end. And that is the great Christian hope that we have. And it's something that starts now. It's fulfilled later, but it starts now. When you put your trust in Him, when you submit yourself to Christ and His Lordship, when you walk in dependence of Him, when you connect to the vine, when you uproot yourself from all of these other things that you've been connected into, these other things that you've trusted in, when you turn away from your life of independence and you say, yes, I want to depend on you, God, from now on, then he makes you His home. The Spirit comes to live in you, and you become a child of God. Now, I want to just finish by giving you a story which kind of brings some of this to home. Okay, because I've talked a lot in terms of theological concepts which, you know, sometimes are a bit abstract, but I want to give you a personal story. And this really is about how the Spirit bears witness, the inner witness, and wakes us up. Sometimes it has to happen, even though we've already experienced God, even though we're already a Christian. Sometimes we wander off the course. Sometimes we grow into independence, and we need to be brought back. And so I was in a kind of a situation like this, and I had a friend who I went to school with, who was a Christian, who I looked up to, I respected, and he used to hear from God. So I thought, okay. He came back from university a few years later, and he said to all of his friends, what happened to him was that he'd actually been pretending to be a Christian for 4 years. And he was going to church, he was doing all the things, but actually he had realized that his faith was built on his from his parents, and he wanted to find truth on his own, okay? And he was pretending to be a Christian for 4 years. But what happened was, he went to a conference, and he experienced the power of God. He had all these emotional issues and depression that God healed him from, and then he saw all of these healings happening, physical healings, and then he started to pray, and God actually used him to heal. And so he came back to God. He almost had this kind of mini healing ministry for a period of time. And he came back really excited, really on fire. And I was not in a good place with God at that time, because I had allowed myself to walk in independence from Him. And so I was feeling frustrated. I was feeling like, you know, the natural reaction to this situation was, you know, why can't God use me in this way? It was, why can't God use me in this way? Underneath the feeling of frustration, I was jealous, because I knew my relationship with God was lacking. I knew that this is what I wanted for myself. And the way He worshipped God, I couldn't worship, because I wasn't in a place where I had a love for God anymore. And what happened was, as I started to listen to Him and spend more time with Him, the Holy Spirit began to convict me and to wake me up. And He showed me through that time that actually, Peter, you do not earn your place with me. You do not earn your love for me. My love for you doesn't depend on you going out and doing all these powerful things like this that I'm doing through Him at the moment. My love for you is based on Jesus and what He's done for you. It's secure. And I had to learn through that time of frustration, actually, the intimacy with God, and work through some of these heart issues that I had inside, where I had a kind of a performance mentality with God. You know, it was like my value depended on my performance. But actually, my value has nothing to do with my performance when it comes to God. It's on Jesus' performance. It's what He's done for me. And so I had to learn that. And, you know, I have seen fruit. I have seen miracles since that time, you know. God's done things. But the foundation has to be learning the affirmation that comes from the Father before we even do anything for Him. This is my Son whom I love. In Him I'm well pleased. And that is what God put into my heart. Now, I want to wrap up and I want to leave three types of response now. Three types of response. Some of you are today hearing this and this is not a reality in your life and it never has been. And you think, well, actually, this is something that I want. I want to be part of the Father-Son project. I want to be a child of God. And I realize that actually I'm not doing this. I'm coming to church. Maybe this is the first time you're here. Maybe you've come here a few weeks. Maybe even you've come here 20 years and you've never really known that you're a child of God. You've never really given yourself to Him in this way. And if this is you, then in a minute I'm gonna do like a response. If this is you, what you need to do is to put your faith in Him. What you need to do is to, in your heart, unplug from the things that you're plugged into, the independence, and depending on other things that are not God, and plug into Him, like the vine and the branches, a branch that's plugged back into Christ. Okay. The second type of person that I want to offer a response to today is for those of you who you want to grow in this area, you want to, or maybe you've gone off track. As I was talking about going off track, you find yourself in a place where you're just doing religion, doing church. And actually God wants to show you and remind you again of the sonship that you have inherited in Christ. And He wants you to walk in that. And the third type of person is the person who has been sitting here and you struggle to listen because for you, Father is a dirty word. Because when someone talks about God as Father, immediately it makes you think of all the bad things that your earthly father did, or all the things, the good things that he didn't do, or maybe he wasn't around. And you're cool with Jesus, you know, and the Holy Spirit, but Father, you can't resonate with that. And God wants to minister to you. He can bring healing. In fact, I would suggest for every person that you establish a relationship with God in heaven, the Father in heaven, that is independent from your earthly father. Because no matter how good your father on earth has been, he will always fall short. God is completely unlike anything that we can ever really know from this world. But for you in particular, if for you Father is a dirty word, I want to give you that opportunity for ministry. God can show Himself as the true, good, perfect Father to you. And He can heal the wounds that have been left by your earthly father. So, first of all, what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you all to close your eyes. If we can get some music as well, that would be great. And so if you're the first kind of person who you've heard this word and you realize actually this is something that I want. I've never had this before. I've never had a relationship with my Father in heaven before. I want to know you. I want to give my life to you. I want to become one with Jesus and have the Holy Spirit living in me. I want to be born again. And just in your heart, I just ask that you would agree with this prayer. I'm just going to pray, and if you can agree with this prayer. Lord, I thank you for your amazing love, reckless love. I don't deserve it, I couldn't earn it. And I thank you that you love me the same way you love Jesus. And I ask, Father, that you would take my life and that you would make it into something new. I want to be born again. I want to have you living inside of me, the Holy Spirit transforming me into a new creation. I give you myself. I give you my sin and my flaws, the way I've been living independent from you. I give it to you right now, and I want to change. I want to be dependent. Thank you for what you've done. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come into me and make me a child of God. Make me a son. Now, still with your eyes closed, if you've agreed to that prayer, if you've prayed that, I just ask if you could raise your hand. This is just so that I can have a sense of who's responding and maybe just pray for you. If you just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for these people, Lord, who've given themselves to you in this moment, Lord. Something has awakened in their hearts, and I just pray that you would bless them. You'd bless them, Lord, that you would keep them safe, you'd encourage them, and that you'd continue this work of revelation in their lives. Lord, that your Spirit would stir up their hearts, Lord, and that you would hold them and in your hands and protect them. Thank you, Lord, that you've been moving today. Thank you, Father, that you've been confirming your word through every part of this service, that you have been speaking about being a son of God. And I ask for every person here, Lord, that you would keep revealing this to them. Keep revealing this to all of us, Lord. There's so much more. This is a lifelong journey of knowing the Father and of discovering what this all means. So for the other two things that I was talking about, for coming back to him, or for those of you who find difficulty with the concept of Father God, there will be a chance to respond, and I'm going to ask the band to come back. But if you're in the band and you actually want to respond, then you don't have to come back. You can respond. But as we play the last song, as the last song is being played, we're just going to have this area in the front here where people can come and respond to either one of those two things. And someone here in the team can pray for you.